Behzadi is a survivor of regime change in Iran before finding her way to the United States. When she found her way here, she started working as a gas station cashier and then began her journey to becoming a CEO, the CEO of a billion-dollar company. Along the way, she dealt with adversities like cancer, many other things. Her newest book is The Unexpected CEO, My Journey from Gas Station Cashier to $2 billion CEO. Welcome to the show, Shireen.
Oh, yeah. Thank you. What a great introduction.
I'm excited to have you on. Tell us about your personal lives, more about your work, and what motivated you to write the book.
Oh, what a good question. Personal life, you mentioned that I was born and raised in Iran. And today I have two grown children who both live not too far from me. One is married. I am married. I have a dog who's sitting right here and snoring as we speak. I'm really excited and passionate about the work I'm doing today. I've obviously helped build the company and grew it to size. And when we finally sold it, end of 2019, I sat back and said, okay, what do I want to do when I grow up? And here's what I want to do. I wanted to take all of those lessons that I learned throughout my life, through all the adversities, challenges, and changes that I had gone through, and use those lessons to help others. The idea was, how can I have impact? How can I make all of what I had gone through helpful and meaningful to others? So obviously, I've done philanthropic work. I've been on boards and advised. And as I was doing all of that, I realized I can continue to do one-on-one or smaller groups and share those lessons, or I can do something a little bit bigger, which is to speak more and to write a book. But I have to say, I'm not going to take credit for coming up with the idea of writing the book by myself. It was Sam and Sarah, my children, who sat me down one Christmas, and they had their present was a PowerPoint presentation to me to say, Mom, it's time to write your book. And I said, I resisted for about a year until I bumped into people and situations where I go, whoa, this could be helpful to others. And so that's when I sat in the corner of the family room and started writing.
Just start writing. And
yes.
I mean, so many different things to unpack. And I imagine you could write an entire book just on the couple of different things that we talked about, escaping regime change and everything there, to getting started on the ground level and then working your way up to being CEO and exiting and obviously dealing with cancer. So how do you even start that process?
Well, I think a lot of what has happened in my life could be viewed as lots of dark and difficult situations. It wasn't just, a lot of Iranians obviously dealt with regime change and all the atrocities that we witnessed. And of course, I was there for the war. But for me personally, it was then having to leave everything behind when I was 17 years old. By everything, I mean literally everything. No parents, no siblings. I was taken on my mom's passport to Turkey in Istanbul, and she left me there. I knew no one. I didn't speak the language. I had very little money. And of course, back then we didn't have cell phones, so the guidance wasn't quite there. So finding my way through and navigating, how do you even begin to live on your own at 17 in a foreign country? And then realizing that I had it in me to be self-reliant. Self-reliant doesn't mean I didn't ask for help. It doesn't mean that I didn't learn from others. It meant that I also had confidence that I could find my way through. And so by successfully finally finding my way to the United States, long story, it's in the book. We're not going to get into all of that. But once I found my way to the United States, I had to survive. So I started working as a cashier at a gas station. And I remember vividly thinking and feeling, gosh, this is a really difficult circumstance and so sad for me that I don't have really anybody and I don't have a lot of money. And what am I going to do as a young person? But then the epiphany was this: I lived through the Iranian Revolution. I was arrested a couple of times. I lived through the war. I lived through living in Turkey, where I had knew no one. Could be any worse. So when I was sitting at that gas station, I thought, why don't I look at this as I'm actually fortunate that I am here? And what do I do with this life? Was the question. And I think that's what mobilized me. That's what me got me going. A principle that I've used since. And when I was dealing with my terminal illness and all the setbacks that it was included in there, those same principles applied. It's like, well, I've been through so many things. This is yet another challenge, another adversity. And how do I grow through it and from it? That underlying theme was what was so helpful for me in all that came my way, including running a company and growing a company and bringing private equity, which is a tough thing to do for, a lot of entrepreneurs. So, and that's the essence of the book, is like there are these principles that I learned that showed up to me in life that are to me are like laws of gravity, like they exist. And I was able to learn them as I went along. And part of the reason why I'm really passionate about sharing them is that adversity at the end of the day was the best teacher I had. That's why I call it the superpower of adversity.
What a story. My goodness. I mean, I think it's, I got a kick out of the idea that your dog is just comfortably sleeping right there, and how fortunate for the dog to not have a care in the world. And I'm sure that your kids have gone through a lot of adversity on their own, but it must be interesting for you to look at their lives and how different, obviously, it was from your life, and you sharing the reality that there were a lot of people that went through the regime change and the war. But I mean, I'm always amazed how people can come out from such an incredible experience and come out the other end. And here we are having a conversation on a podcast. Was it those first 17 years of your life? You probably Were you aware that there was a different way? Were you aware that people live differently in the United States, or this is just the reality that we had, and this is what we have to go through, so it doesn't matter what anybody else is going through?
So I was fortunate that I was born before this revolution. So I had seen Iran in its state before the Islamic Republic took over. And that was very, in a lot of ways, call it Western, whatever you want to call it. But, it was a very different lifestyle. And of course, we had traveled outside of the country. We had visitors from outside of the country. My dad grew a company and ran it. So entrepreneurship is maybe in our blood. And so I did have a point of reference. And maybe in a lot of ways that having that point of reference, which by the way, even today, after 40 some years of this regime, I know that Iranian people are very educated, very well aware. They know, they have a point of reference. But what we went through was a lot of chaos and turmoil. And what that does is that it takes away the sense of safety, which is important for a child, for anybody, but definitely for a child. So what that those experiences, which were, violence and arrests and all of those, taking away women's rights, all that we witnessed resulted in this sense that maybe safety, the bottom has fallen out. What I do want to point out is that history is not your destiny. Your history is not your destiny. It is what has happened, and learning from them, I'm not saying dismissing it, I'm saying honor it. I'm saying that, embrace what you've gone through, but we are more resilient than we may think. And I've been asked, how, were you born resilient? No, I don't think so. There was nothing exceptional about, I don't think, how I, started my life. But Resilience is one of those things that you develop like a muscle. The more you allow yourself to go through and learn from challenges, the better you become at facing more challenges. So the idea, and I'm going to fast forward to companies and organizations, the same is true. The more you allow yourself, your teams, your organization, you yourself to embrace and go through challenge and change that comes your way, the better you become at learning how to deal with those things and get better and better at it. So yes, now sitting here thinking, gosh, I wrote a book and it's being published and I'm sitting in Orange County, California, and you know, speaking with George on a podcast. How did all of this happen? It's amazing and it's exciting and brings a smile to my face and makes sense. Doesn't it? Strangely, it does make sense, because why not? Right? Exactly. Because when I was, I always tell this story. I'm going to make it really short because I want to answer more questions you may have. But when I went into secure private equity, I didn't know, only found out later, it's really difficult to secure private equity. You know, only a small percent of companies backed by private equity or run by women. I didn't know any of those stats. And it's a good thing, because I just went in presenting what I thought was right and great. But that's the thing. Why not? If somebody's going to get secure private equity, why not me? Right? It's the same thing. Why not me run a company? Somebody does. Why not me sit here and talk to you on a podcast? Because somebody is. Why not me?
I think that that's so powerful, the reality that if one human being on planet Earth has done it, well, then I can do it too.
Yes.
And that sounds nice, but I don't think that that many people actually believe that. I do, and you obviously do. I really want to circle back to this idea, to the reality that you're without a sense of safety for up until, can you remember, like, when you actually felt safe? You're here in the United States.
I'm still
States
working on it. I'm just kidding. I'm not even kidding. I think when I was in Iran, and like I said, I was arrested a couple of times, I don't know if I was aware. I didn't have the language to say, I don't feel safe. Because frankly, I think a lot of people didn't feel safe. And certainly I didn't. And definitely when I was in Istanbul all by myself in areas of Istanbul that not a lot of people, especially young girls, should live, I am sure I wasn't safe. But again, I didn't, one, have the language, nor did I have the focus and, you know, energy to even think about that, because I was surviving. So a lot of those years were more about, I know, but I'm going to survive. I know the, you know, in the back of my mind, I know this is not super safe, but I'm going to have to survive. And it's the same was true when I was working. The gas station that I worked at in the United States was a bulletproof gas station. It wasn't in the greatest area. I didn't have the best shifts. I'm sure I felt the same there too. It definitely took, in the way of physical safety, of course, it came about faster because I ended up moving up. I ended up going to college, finishing it at, and so on. And of course, I ended up in better places in life. And in the way of physical safety, definitely felt safer. But the remnants of the bottom could fall out was probably in my psyche for a long, long time.
How would it not be?
How would it not be, right?
How is it not still there?
So I think one of the things I talked about is that fear is an interesting emotion. We always, not always, oftentimes we consider it as a negative, but listen, fear is my friend. It's been here and it comes and goes, and that's okay. You know, I can, you asked the question of not a lot of people believe. Yeah, a lot of what I've done in life, I'm like, I'm afraid and I'll do it.
Feel the fear, yeah. Do it anyway.
Do it anyway, yes.
I human change is really difficult. It's hard for us to change when we're
Yes.
in the rhythm of doing something. It's tough. And so how can I manufacture that? You've been had all this thrust upon you from regime change. You didn't choose that, to having to go to Turkey and then coming to the United States and then cancer. Obviously, you didn't choose any of these things. And the idea of putting yourself in a no option situation, death ground, to start doing the things I know that I'm supposed to be doing. That's so many of us have to manufacture that sense of urgency because we don't have the experiences that you have. Do you think that? So there's so much there. Obviously, you can't continue to operate at that red line of fear and urgency all the time because you'll burn out or something bad will happen. I think there's a question in there somewhere. What are your thoughts?
I feel like you're right. A lot of what I did in life was, let me just keep moving. And I think that's a good thing when you're in a dire situation and survival is at stake, you definitely want to keep moving. But I reached a point, because you are absolutely right, it is not possible to keep at that pace forever. And I have the tendency to go back and forth. I've had it. I've gotten better. But one important event in my life was the life-threatening. It was a brain tumor that brought everything to sort of a halt. So I had to pause, because I didn't have a choice. And I became an observer because I had to slow down. I had to learn to literally find my balance physically because it was delivered to me that way. And when all of that happened, we always talk about there was life before and there was life after, and the life after is so much richer, better, more authentic. I made fundamental changes in my life for the better, and they were difficult, but for the better, because I became more aware and I was more in tune with really what is it that I want to do. Hopefully, people that listen to this don't have to get to that point to pause and say, what is it that I want, and where do I want to see myself in life? To me, it was, I have a very wise 80-some-year-old woman that said to me that sometimes people have to be hit over the head by a 2x4 to get to pay attention, and that's what happened to me. But the point is this: if we were able to give ourselves the time, which is what I do now, and after I step down as CEO for sure, to really think about, what is it that I want to see myself? Where is it that I want to see myself in life? And I don't only mean career-wise, but also career-wise. And then make that what you think about, what you focus on a daily basis, and have that become your, I'm not loving the word dream, but let's say your dream, your vision, and know that it's going to happen. And sort of work towards it. And there's so much more that goes into that, by the way, which I'm happy to. That's part of the reason I wrote the book. And this is why I love speaking about all of this, is my hope is that with what we've learned, we can help each other. I can help other people learn and maybe not get to the point where they have to stop to pause and recalibrate, right? So defining who you are and where you want to go are two very important steps to take in order to build, live a meaningful life in every way. So I call it, I always say, because you can, because you can. Because you can build, grow, accomplish, live your vision.
I love everything about that. It's so powerful, and it's like you look backwards on your experiences thus far, and it all makes sense in a wild way. And
Right? So when I was writing the book, that's exactly what I did. I'm like, I'm gonna only share memories, and of course, it's very therapeutic because you go through it yourself. I'm only gonna share memories that is going to help understand how things ended up where they ended up. And it is like, you're right, there's like a thread that goes through it. That's why I'm saying there are like principles at work.
For
There
sure.
are. Yes. And it's like discovering them as you look backwards. At the time, you may or may not know, understand them that well. But when you put it all together, I go, whoa, whoa, whoa. Same thing that applied when I was like a kid in school, kind of applied when I was a CEO. Like how they are connected.
Yeah, you need a little bit of space from particularly the brain tumor thing to be able to appreciate
It's true.
it.
It's true.
You ever throw yourself pity parties, Shireen?
I don't think I do pity parties, but I have to say, a lot of times in my life, I curved up in a ball and I was like, I don't even know how I'm going to get through this one. And I think it's good to allow yourself to do that. But then I think the difference is that once I do, then I give myself some time and then I go, okay, where is hope in all of this? Because there's hope everywhere. Where is
Yeah.
that light at the end of the tunnel, and how do I get there?
It's got to be in here somewhere.
It's got to be here. I may not see it at the moment, but
Really
boy,
hard to find right now, but it's here
oh.
somewhere.
I believe there is.
Maybe the dog is sleeping on it right now.
He always does.
Yeah, that's awesome. Well, Shireen, thank you so much for coming on. What a story. Most importantly, thanks for connecting the dots, and thanks for looking and finding the principles. And I mean, I'm sure that so many people have already benefited from learning about how you've recognized and applied the principles and continue to do so. So thank you so much. Where can people learn more about you? How can they engage with you? Where can they get their copy of The Unexpected CEO?
Yes. Well, thanks for asking. First of all, thanks for everything you do. This is great. I appreciate it. I enjoyed my conversation. The Unexpected CEO can be found anywhere. And so it is ready for pre-order now for sure. It definitely can be found on my website. Now, my website is my name, so good luck spelling it, ShireenBezadi.com, ShireenBezadi.com. However, if you put the unexpected CEO, that'll get you there too. So there may be an easier way of getting there. I am on LinkedIn. I'm on Instagram. I'm on other social platforms, I believe, all with my name, Shireen Bezadi.
Excellent.
Yes.
Well, if you enjoyed as much as I did, share Shireen your appreciation. Share today's show with a friend who also appreciates good ideas. Go to ShireenBezadi.com. It's ShireenBezadi.com. And check out all things Shireen. Get your copy of The Unexpected CEO and start learning and strengthening your adversity muscle and your gratitude and developing your skill of resilience and everything else that this book will teach you. Thanks again, Shireen.
Thank you.
Until next time, remember, do your part by doing your best.